when he was going through a similar experience, and he observed about God in the midst of his trial. He said, "Meanwhile, where's God in what I'm going through? Where is God with these problems that I have? Where is God?" He said, this is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, if you turn to him with praise, you will be welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face, a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside, and after that.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with a message titled, "The Keys to Walking with God Through a Crisis." So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of "The Keys to Walking with God Through a Crisis."
I want to share with you a message today from the book of Job. And in the book of Job, I'm going to read two passages. One is in Job 14, verses 1 and 2, and then the other one is in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Job, two passages in the book of Job. Job 14, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days, and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." And then in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." I want to speak to you on this subject today. The keys to walking with God through a crisis. The keys to walking with God through a crisis. Job says here that a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And as we look at these verses that I pointed out today, we see two things in these verses. The first thing that we see is that life is very brief. Life is brief. Notice the words that he uses. He uses the word few, a few days. You know, we are only, as one songwriter said, dancing on this earth for a short time. Days are few. Notice also he says they come forth like a flower and is cut down. The life of a flower is not very long. And then he says that we are like a shadow that fleeth. And we know that the shadow only lasts as long as the sun is out. So the first thing that he points out is that our days are few. The second thing that he brings to our attention is that they're filled with trouble. That we have difficulties, we have trials, we have tribulation in life. So not only are our days few, but they are filled with trouble. And I read this verse, Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Always read it, didn't know what it meant. He says, "Yet as man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward." And I would read that verse all the time, and I would hear preachers, read it, and never really understood what it meant. And then last night I was studying it out. And what it's saying, that if you look at a fire, and when you see crackling from the fire and you see sparks from the fire, that they generally go upward. They fly upward. And what Job is saying here is that just as it is a fact that when sparks come out of a fire, they fly upward, so it is a fact also that man is born with trouble. It's a fact that we're all going to have to experience some type of trouble. I got a call yesterday afternoon to go minister to a mother and father. They had twins, and the twins were six weeks old. And the father went to check on one of them yesterday morning, and one of the twins was dead. And you know, you sit down and you ask God for words to say. You ask God to give you something. And I don't know, it was just very difficult because there's nothing at that time that you can really say that they can understand. And so I was just reminded that our days are short and they're filled with trouble. And somehow we have to find a way that when trouble comes in our life, that we have to learn how to walk with God. If we don't know how to walk with God through trouble, it's going to be very difficult to make it through. You know, this family that I ministered to yesterday, I'm not sure if they knew Christ or not. You know, I tried to bring God into the situation, bring God into the picture. You know, the man asked me if I would go up into the room and pray where the child was when he passed away. And again, very difficult, but when you think about 6 weeks old, you know, you're reminded that whatever time God gives us here on this earth, that we need to take advantage of it, and that we need to use it, and that we need to serve God for his honor and glory, because days are only a few. And Job says they're filled with trouble. And Job is one who can make a statement like that, because if you look at the chart that I drew up for you, and also as we have it on the overhead, we can see Job's areas of suffering as we read through the book of Job. Job suffered financially. In the first chapter, we read that he lost his livestock and his servants. Many of us have gone through losses in life. We have lost financial possessions. We have lost material possessions. But here was Job, a man that basically lost everything that he had, everything that he possessed. And while he received word that his possessions and his servants were gone, right on top of that, he received word that his sons and his daughters had been killed. You know, I was thinking of a football analogy, that whenever you tackle somebody and they fall to the ground, and once they're on the ground, sometimes other guys will come and jump on the pile, and they call that piling on. And actually, you can get a penalty for piling on. And sometimes in life, doesn't it seem like we get piled on? That one situation tackles us. One situation brings us down. And then it seems like other things jump on the pile, and we find ourselves being impacted by the things that jump on the pile. Job, if we were to do an intense reading of chapters 3 through 41, and we're going to talk about this here in a second, that Job actually felt distance from God. He felt that in his situation that God had not drawn close to him. In chapter 2 and verse 7, we see that Job had boils all over his body. He had to sit down. He had to take a piece of potsherd, a piece of broken pottery, and he sat down by the dump, and he began to scrape the boils that were on his body. Job had open sores, and even worms began to eat at his flesh. Job was troubled emotionally by his problems, that he had nightmares every night. He would wake up screaming, and he would wake up terrified. There was weight loss because he was unable to eat, and His eyes, because he was unable to sleep, they were bloodshot. He had many sleepless nights. He even said that for some reason, whatever malady that he was dealing with, that it had caused his breath to become bad. It began to just touch his throat and his tongue, and there was the peeling of his skin, and he also had a fever that was very high. And so as you look at that, you know, I ask the question, you know, when you consider what we just read about Job, and some people say, well, Job might have been a mythological character, but if we look, there were New Testament writers that referred to Job as being a historical character. And so if we look at Job, we can all ask ourselves the question, do I really have problems? And I think I have problems, right? When you consider all that he went through, and compound that with the fact that he felt that God had drifted away from him. And I put this thing in here, and I shared a message years ago on when God is silent. That when you come to a place where you have difficulties, you have problems, and God seems to be nowhere around. In the notes that I passed out and on the overhead, there is a gray box. And in this gray box, I put the statement, when God is silent, when God is silent. In the midst of Job's experience, God seemed to be nowhere around. He yearned to come into the presence of God and to have an audience with him. Look what Job says in chapter 23 and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Where is God? Oh, that I knew where I could find him. I want to have an audience with him, but he just seems like he's so far away. I like what C.S. Lewis wrote when he was going through a similar experience, and he observed about God in the midst of his trial. He said, meanwhile, where's God in what I'm going through? Where's God with these problems that I have? Where is God? He said, this is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, if you turn to him with praise, you will be welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside, and after that, silence. Wow, that's deep. That's deep. You know, you hear the door bolt and double bolt, and then after that, there's nothing. It seems like God has just left you. And no doubt, that's the feeling that I was experiencing yesterday in the life of these individuals, that I'm sure they wondered, how could this happen? Where are answers? You know, we need some answers, and God is just silent. You don't hear anything. You know, I know sometimes people might get tired of hearing me share about my experience, but I know in the midst of my illness that I was going to the doctors, and it seemed like my health was getting worse. And there was time after time again, I asked, where are you at, God? And it just seemed like I was experiencing what C.S. Lewis experienced. You know, there was the bolt, the double bolt, and then all that there was just silence. You didn't hear anything else. And you just left there. I mean, you know that God is out there somewhere. You know that he's omniscient. You know that he's omnipotent. You know that he's omnipresent. But it just doesn't seem like he's paying attention to your situation right now. Where is God? You know, sometimes God just gets silent. You mean the God that made the mountains? You mean that God that cut the rivers into the land? The God that pressed his hand down and formed the ocean? The God who roars from heaven like a lion? You mean he gets quiet? Yeah, sometimes he does. And you are left there just to deal with your situation. You are left there like Job, and you're saying, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to where he sits. And so as we come to those times in life, let me share four things with you, and I'm done this morning. When we look at, what are some keys to walking with God through a crisis? That even though Job felt this distance between him and God, that there were certain things that Job continued to do. And so I want to share, and you know, you can take the notes that you have today, and you don't know who you're going to run into. You know, maybe you don't need them today, but you need to hold on to those notes, because you might run into somebody who's in a crisis, and they need to hear what you're going to hear this morning. And that you can share with them. Sometimes, you know, saints, I'll be honest with you, sometimes there's nothing that you can say. There's no magic wand that you can wave over a situation to make everything right, to make it go away. It's just going to be there, and you just got to deal with it. And so what do you have to do in the midst of a crisis? The first thing that we see Job doing is we see him worshiping. Worshiping. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Yeah. And he worshiped. Man, you just lost all your possessions. You just lost all your servants. You just lost your sons and your daughters. And Job fell down and he worshiped, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But lest we miss something, I want to say this, that before Job worshiped, he grieved. He grieved. God knows that we have to grieve. God knows that when we have difficult situations in our life, that there is emotional pain that is bent up in us, and that we have to get that pain out. It doesn't come all out at one time. It's there, but you know, we have to work on that pain that's inside. And so look what it says here. It said that Job, in the Old Testament, when somebody was sorrowing, when somebody was grieving, what they would do, they would arise, they would shave their head, and they would cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes as a symbol of their grief. And so Job is not downplaying this situation. Job is not saying, well, hey, you know what? I'm some super spiritual individual. You know, I got it all together. And even though I just lost everything that I own, look at me. I'm a spiritual guy. Look how spiritual I am, that this thing don't even affect me, because all I'm going to just do is get down because I'm so high and holy and just worship God. No, that's not what he did. The Bible said he grieved. He grieved because he was hurt and he was wounded in his spirit. And after he was grieving, he worshiped. He worshiped God. And you know, we have memorized these verses, and I don't know how many times I've heard people quote these verses over and over again. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you know what? It wasn't the words that Job said. It was the attitude of his heart. His heart was one of worship. His heart was one, Lord, everything that I have is gone. But Lord, you are still God. And we can't lose sight of that. We can get angry, and we can cry out, and we can shake our fists, and all those things are sign of the emotion that's within us. But we still can't forget that He's God. That He's God, that even though I might even at the moment be angry with God. How could you let this happen? God, you are all powerful. How could you let this happen to me? I still have to recognize that He is God. And so Job recognizes that God is still on the throne, and he worshiped. When you come to a time of suffering in your life, do you worship God or do you complain? When you come to a time of tribulation in your life, do you look around and say, oh, pitiful me, or do you worship? In the midst of grieving, this man was able to worship. And I encourage you, find a way to worship. Well, Pastor Glaze, how are some ways that you can worship? One of the best ways I know is just to put on a song that ministers to your spirit and just cry out and sing that song to the Lord and just worship God through your tears, worship God through your pain, worship God through your sorrow. Just whatever, you know, there are songs that connect with your heart and that minister to you. And you need to find how to connect with God through that time. Get into the Word of God. Maybe a verse that is very meaningful to you, that a verse that has encouraged you, that has ministered to your heart over the years, to pick up that verse and read that verse and meditate on that verse. That's what it means to worship God. To get on your knees and cry out and say, God, I have no earthly idea why this happened. God, I don't know what to do. Please show me, Lord. Guide me step by step. That's what it means to worship God in the midst of your grief. The second key to walking with God through a crisis is what I call sanctification. Look what it says in chapter 1 and verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look at chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job didn't sin. He was sanctified through all this. Very easy for people to sin in the midst of suffering. I think of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. He said, be angry. Be angry and sin not. How do you sin when you're angry? You sin when you're angry when you do something nasty as a result of being angry. You can be angry, but it doesn't have to lead you to sin. Well, let me translate this over to Job. Grieve and sin not. There is what we call the normal process of grieving. And it is different for everybody. Sometimes it depends on the situation. Sometimes it depends on the person. Sometimes it depends on the support that they have around them. So grieving is something that we can't put a time limit on. It's different for everybody. But as we grieve, there is something that's called.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Keys to Walking with God Through a Crisis. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, The Keys to Walking with God Through a Crisis, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Keys to Walking with God Through a Crisis. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Keys to Walking with God Through a Crisis, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view various other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts so that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.